walls, no net, just you to catch me when I fall. Look hard, no hands. It took a little time to get up to speed, find the confidence and the strength I'd need to just let go and reach for the sky. You know, sometimes it felt I could fly. No doubts, no fears, just like when you are here. No chains, no strings, no fences, no wall, no net, just you to catch me when I fall. Look hard.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The judge in the hush money trial fined Donald Trump for repeatedly violating a limited gag order. ABC's John Santucci says Trump is already fundraising off the fine.
The reality is that Donald Trump for years has been told by advisors since he became a political candidate in 2015, rein it in, don't post this, don't do that. He never listened to anybody because, quite frankly, there were no consequences. And now there are $9,000 worth of consequences. And let's be clear, we may not be done there.
Trump is accused of falsifying documents ahead of the 2016 election. Authorities in North Carolina say the suspect who killed four officers and injured four others while trying to serve a warrant at a home was armed with an AR-15 rifle. The suspect also killed during a shootout. Protests over the war in Gaza continue at dozens of campuses nationwide. Columbia University students have now barricaded themselves into one of the halls on campus. This is ABC News. Dave and Buster's announcing a new way for players to get into the game by allowing gambling for some of their arcade classics. Here's ABC's Brian Clark.
Technology company Lucra, which allows people to wager on what it calls contests or competitions, says it's reached an agreement with the entertainment chain to put its technology in their app. Players must be 18 or older to take part. A Dave & Buster's executive says it looks forward to giving their loyalty members real-time, unrivaled gaming experiences. Brian Clark, ABC News.
An Idaho man is now facing criminal charges after he reportedly kicked a bison in the leg while drunk at Yellowstone National Park last week. That, according to park rangers. The man also sustained minor injuries when the animal retaliated. It is the first report of an injury caused by a bison inside the park since July 2023. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Protesters of the war in Gaza have set up on-campus encampments at the state's two main universities. Administration at both UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee have warned the student protesters their actions violate the state's administrative code. Police have been monitoring the encampments since they were set up Monday. Despite the warnings, protester Samia Saeed from UW-Milwaukee's For Palestine Coalition tells Fox 6 Milwaukee they won't leave until their demands are met.
All of us here understand the risk of getting arrested, of getting hurt.
Those demands include cutting financial ties from Israeli institutions and for a ceasefire in Gaza. The pro-Palestinian protests started Monday morning on both campuses. During an appearance in Stevens Point Monday, Governor Tony Evers said former President Donald Trump's campaign stop in Waukesha Wednesday is just another sign of how important Wisconsin will be in November.
I think it'll be a good race. It'll be close. Wisconsin's a purple state, and Biden will win.
Trump will appear at the Waukesha County Expo Center Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday's an off day in Trump's hush money trial. Voters at the annual spring DNR surveys show Wisconsin residents want to restrict wake surfing.
That was just one of the topics up for a vote at the spring hearing. On a vote of 10,274 to 3,363, residents agree they want the state to take action to ban excessive wakes on lakes smaller than 1,500 acres and require that any wake surfing on lakes that are large enough to allow for it to take place at least 700 feet from shore. That is far more restrictive than a plan forwarded by Republican lawmakers last fall. That bill would have allowed wakeboarding on lakes as small as 50 acres, but it failed to advance. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Need a quick but tasty supper idea? Stop at O'Galley Cheese for their take-and-bake pizzas. O'Galley Cheese's pizzas are made with their own cheddar and three cheese blend, featuring Romano and award-winning Asiago and Parmesan cheeses, made with milk from only local dairy farmers. Don't forget to ask for a pizza punch card. Open 7 days a week, O'Galley Cheese is located just north of Durand on Highway 25 for your next pizza craving.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high-pressure system is built in, allowing our skies to be bright and beautiful today, with seasonal high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. A few more fronts swing through the state overnight, firing up showers and even some rumbles of thunder. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 58.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Conversation with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Then it's Emily Score from Growth Energy. Later, a full segment with Brett Waltz from BAM WX. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover today, don't we?
We really do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And some complicated issues. When you start talking final rules and getting industry reaction and everything, and the thing is, in the conversation with Emily Score, we don't have the final rule quite yet. I wonder if it's not going to be released here within the next moments. Mm-hmm. But there's also word that it might not come out until later this afternoon when we're talking about the final adjustments to the GREET model that will either clear the path for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuels market, or if you are to believe some of the reports that are out there, and there's no reason that we shouldn't believe some of the reports that are out there, there could be some additional roadblocks in the way of existing ethanol production. Existing bio-based diesel production from soy, there could be some really significant headwinds and roadblocks, not just potholes, but roadblocks to on the pathway to sustainable aviation fuel for those markets. So we'll talk with Emily about that coming up here in just a little bit. And then at the end of the show, we're going to wait as long as we possibly can and get as much more information in as we can, or I should say, let Brett get as much information in as he can before we get him on here and get the latest on the severe weather potential. Because, man, oh, man, dude, it's a rinse and repeat situation for some of those areas out there, Davis.
Yeah, unfortunately, it absolutely is. Here further south from you, we're 67 degrees and partly sunny, but the humidity is coming into the air.
Yeah,
we're looking to be around 80-ish today, if not possibly a little bit above. But to me, that just feels like storm weather.
Yeah.
You know?
Heat up. Exactly.
Build the humidity, and then boom, she cracks off, and then we have a little more sun, a little more humidity, builds back up, and I think that's the pattern that we may be looking at for the next couple of days.
Well, we will find out from Brett here at the end of the show. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, we'll start with the National Weather Service's take. Strong to severe thunderstorms possible across the Central Plains and Missouri Valley today into this afternoon and evening. The main threats will be damaging wind and large hail, Chip. A late-season low-pressure system will bring widespread high-elevation snow and lower-elevation rain across the Pacific Northwest toward the Northern Rockies through Tuesday. Chip, I've got crop progress report highlights, and I think I've got the right week this time. April 28, winter wheat 49%, good to excellent. That's down a point from last week, 30% headed. That's well above the five-year average pace of heading. Corn 27% planted compares to 22% on average. 7% emerged compares to 4%. Soybeans 18% planted. That's 8 percentage points ahead of the average pace. Spring wheat 34% planted compares to 19% on average. 5% emerged in line with the average. And here we have cotton 15% planted compares to 14% on average by this date.
Yeah, the season is moving right along. We'll talk to Brett at the end of the show about when there might be a 2 or 3 day gap in some of the storms, so producers can get back out in the field.
Yep. Well, South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier lowered his Argentine corn crop estimate 1 million metric ton, now at 49 million metric tons, Chip, citing variable yields and impacts from corn stunt disease. Cordonier left his Argentine soybean crop and both Brazilian crops unchanged on the week, but here we are below 50 million metric tons on that RG corn crop.
Yeah. It should have an impact on the markets before too long.
USDA's attaché in Australia forecasts the country's wheat production down 3% from the 10-year average. Trade associations representing feedstock providers, advanced biofuel producers, and low-carbon fuel customers want EPA to propose and finalize robust 2026 renewable fuel standard volumes by November's deadline. The group's letter to Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan highlights the dramatic drop in the value of RFS compliance credits because of EPA's unreasonably low 23 through 2025 volumes.
If past performance is any indication of future performance, there is absolutely no way that they will hit that deadline in November.
Indeed. Well, some 40 companies and organizations that hold a stake in the development and deployment of sustainable aviation fuel united to form the Sustainable Aviation Fuel Coalition. The goal of the new nonprofit, nonpartisan coalition is to rapidly scale investment in the SAF sector and advocate for the incentives and policies necessary to promote U.S. economic competitiveness in the emerging SAF marketplace. Farmers National Company reports overall farmland demand remains extraordinarily strong and land values are holding steady in most areas. Troy Swee, assistant VP for Farmers National, says, quote, high quality land continues to sell at a level comparable to the spring of 2023. He says, however, lower quality farms and farms with a few blemishes on them have seen a 7 to 15% reduction in price. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Mouth. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, Chip.
Okay. So, boy, a tough issue to deal with in any industry, and here we are dealing with it in the dairy industry, the H5N1 in dairy cattle, and it's creating some changes on how cattle can move interstate. Tell us about it.
Well, sure. And I said, you know, from the get-go, Chip, this H5N1, it's a very fluid situation. So we kind of knew that this would continue to unfold.
Yep.
But last week, and before the news broke last week, we hadn't heard a whole lot of news. And so perhaps we thought no news was good news. And well, let me just tell you, a lot unfolded and it continues to unfold. So the latest from APHIS is that lactating dairy cattle headed to a sale barn do not need to be tested for H5N1. However, they do require a certificate of veterinary inspection stating that the animal is clinically healthy and that no testing is necessary. And really, Chip, this is huge news because testing sale animals that were going to go to slaughter would be difficult. Many times farmers don't know exactly what animals they're going to cull until a few days prior to the cattle, you know, going on that truck.
Right.
So if they have to test that animal, it was going to delay the whole process, and often, you know, cows leave for slaughter like once a week. It's not a daily thing. Let me also say, however, lactating dairy cattle that are going to be moved across state lines that are not going to a sale barn will still need to be tested for H5N1. And for dairies that have multiple sites and across state lines, this poses hurdles because, again, it takes the testing takes time and labor. But APHIS will provide reimbursement for testing. And that they will also mandate reporting for labs and state veterinarians to report, of course, all positive H5N1 cases.
Right.
So I just say, you know, this story is a very fluid situation. I suspect more updates will come, Chip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We need to stay on top of those updates. And it's an effort to get in front of the spread of the disease and the spread of the virus. And we need to pay attention to what is happening. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, follow the story, www.dairyherd.com. We've got Ethan Lane coming up next.
Half of all consumers consider climate impact when purchasing dairy products, and nearly one-third have decided against buying a product that has a negative environmental impact. The good news is, dairy farmers already do so much to care for the earth and its resources. Your Dairy Checkoff conducts research on sustainability practices and shares these proof points with consumers. Learn more about our strategy to make every drop count at usdairy.com.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products: service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the field with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Like I said at the open of the show, lots of rules and regulations that we're going to be talking about in today's show, and some final rules from different government agencies. And joining us right now to bring us some clarification on the traceability rule is Ethan Lane. He is the VP of Government Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, good morning, man. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you, too. How's everything going?
We're doing just fine. We've got, it's warming up nicely. We're on our way to the mid-70s today. Right now, the sun is shining, but it sounds like we're going to get some storms in here later today. But for the moment, it's looking beautiful out there. How about you?
Well, it's 90 degrees, and the humidity's starting to build, and the one good thing we get is nice spring weather here. If you take that away, this becomes a fairly unpleasant place to be.
For lots of reasons. For lots of reasons out there, Ethan. Okay, let's talk about this traceability rule. First off, what inspired the whole effort here? Because it goes back like 10 years, right?
Oh, longer than that. I mean, it goes back decades. But I mean, the what we're talking about now in this new rule is really sort of a continuation of the 2013 animal disease traceability rule. So if you go back to 2013 and say, okay, you have a rule in 2013 that establishes a class of cattle that needs to be traceable when it crosses state lines. And that class of cattle is sexually intact, over 18 months, moving interstate, as well as all dairy cattle, rodeo cattle, and bison. And that's basically your class of cattle that require some form of ID to move across state lines. That has been a metal ear tag. Since 2013, effectively, a bright tag. What this rulemaking has done is essentially say that now, starting 6 months from you know, the publication of this rule, so about November 1st, will need to be a tag that is both visually, like the metal tag, and electronically readable. So that means basically an 840 tag is the approved technology currently that would fit that bill, although we would expect more to come into the marketplace. And that is going to allow states to more quickly gather information that right now has to be entered by hand, has to be transposed. And you know, that's sort of the basic reasoning for this, is to speed up a lot of those processes and ensure that if we have a disease outbreak, that information can be accessed quickly to figure out where the problem is, and more importantly, unlock those portions of the herd that aren't exposed to this disease outbreak, if we were to have one. Say FMD is a good example, foot and mouth disease. You know, you have a 72-hour ground stop if that were to come back on U.S. soil after 100 years. This would allow producers to say, my herd hasn't been anywhere near anything that's infected. Here's the proof. I'm going to go resume my normal activities. And that's the goal to kind of deal with there. But, you know, it's a loaded issue, right? It's data security. It's cost of implementation.
Right.
There's a lot there that producers look at and say, whoa, this is a big change from what I'm used to, and I'm really uncomfortable with that. And so it's important to know what it's not as much as it is what it is to, I think, get to a point of more comfort.
Yeah, that's exactly where I wanted to go next. Now, if I'm taking a load of feeder cattle from northern Missouri up to a sale barn in southern Iowa, do those calves need to have an electronic ID?
No, this does not apply. This is not applied to that class of cattle. We are talking about breeding stock here that is moving interstate.
Okay, so again, understanding what is not required is just as important as understanding what is required. Fat cattle that are heading for us, that go through the sale barn system, that are making their way to slaughter, do those animals need to have an electronic ID?
Again, no. Also, not part of this rule. So that normal sort of beef production chain is not subject to that rule. And that's a touchy area because, I mean, that's been, you know, you have states that have state cattlemen's associations that have policy that very much supports that. We have other states that have policy that would oppose a move like that. And you know, this is an issue that has evolved over a number of years. And I guarantee you, we don't have a cattle industry meeting, you know, and have 6,000 or 7,000 people under one roof and bring this up without getting a lot of different opinions. And that's the nature of the industry. And that's important, right? To see where are we today? Where does the industry think we need to go here? What's our line in the sand? And what does this system need to look like for it to meet our expectations? And so that's kind of where we spend our time is really making sure we're adhering to that policy that's been given to us by our producers around the country to inform how these processes move forward.
Okay. All right. Basically, if they were required to have the metal tag, they are required to have the electronic ID tag.
That's correct. I mean, the easiest way to look at this is that this is a technology update to an existing program. This isn't a new requirement. This is just they're changing the underlying technology.
What has been the reaction from your membership? Because like you said, the wide variety of reactions that people have had to this, Ethan, is pretty, it's a wide range in the reactions. There's no question about it. What has been the general reaction from your membership?
Well, Chip, I realize as a broadcaster that trades in real news and you know, honest opinion, the room you're in is getting smaller, but there are a lot of people with a lot of money to be made scaring the hell out of producers, making them fear something, you know, kind of driving that conversation, whether it be for clicks or engagement or whatever else. We're certainly seeing that. We would absolutely expect to see that, right? Every theory from, you know, this is how they're going to track methane emissions, or this is how they're going to count cattle so they can shut the industry down. If we thought any of that was even remotely true, the only thing we would be working on is killing this thing and you know, burying its body as deep out in the desert as possible. The reality is this is a lot more mundane than that, and it's a technology update. But, you know, I think we're seeing those vocal voices on Twitter and the places you would expect to, YouTube. But then the vast majority of the industry, the folks that are involved in their state association or their county association, know that this has been going on, and we've been talking about it ad nauseum for years now. So there's nothing new under the sun here other than the rule that's been talked about in the Trump administration. And the Biden administration is now final, and we have a shot clock that runs out about November 1st before this goes live. And if producers are worried about this, you know, that six-month window gives them the chance to get grandfathered in under the old system. They can use those metal tags until then and put them in those breeding animals and kind of opt those animals out.
Okay. All right. Are there some funds available to offset the costs?
So we lobbied aggressively in the appropriations process last year. We secured $15 million that USDA must spend on tags and related infrastructure. And the goal there is to make sure our producers aren't bearing the cost of implementing this new rule. USDA is advising producers, go to your state animal health officials, go to your state vet. They will give you tags. So if you don't want to have to pay for these tags, you shouldn't. Go talk to your state animal health officials and they'll give them to you. And that's the idea here. We're going to keep the pressure on that to make sure that our producers aren't having to come out of pocket $3 a tag to comply with this with this regulation.
Gotcha. Good. Good. I get it. I get which animals are required and which ones are not. And this is, as you said, it's a technology update. And just need to be confident in how that technology is going to be used going forward. So, hey, what's the deal with the changes in the Bureau of Land Management rules on BLM use?
Oh, yeah. So the best way to talk about this is you've got a bureaucracy at BLM who has for, you know, a better part of a century been charged with implementing multiple use. And that means recreation, that means hunting, that means fishing, that means mining, and that means grazing. But what they really want to do is not get beat up by the environmental community, who sues them every time they make the decision they're supposed to make. So for a long time, they have wanted a rule change that would give them the ability to make a decision that doesn't require an actual use of the land to placate the radical environmentalists. The new BLM, they were calling it the conservation rule. It's now in final form called the public lands rule, essentially creates another class of multiple use that there's no actual use involved, right? So it's just kind of a straw man deal that allows them to say, well, the use here is going to be, you know, locking the gate and hoping that nature heals itself. Well, anybody who manages land for a living knows active management is how you get better, you know, ecological results out of those landscapes. That's why the cattle industry is so important as a sustainability tool. This is the same thing as BLM Planning 2.0 that we killed 7 years ago at the beginning of the Trump administration. We're going to need to deal with this one as well. This is a relentless effort by the bureaucracy to do away with large-scale grazing on BLM lands in the West. And you know, every couple of years this comes up, and every couple of years we got to go to battle to defeat it.
Yeah, yeah. Ethan, I think it was one of the first conversations that you and I had years ago was about BLM and grazing.
Probably.
I'm sure it was. Right. I'm sure it was. So, yeah, here we go again. Tackling the same situation over again. Ethan, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you, man.
You bet. Great talking to you.
All right. Ethan Lane, VP Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Emily Score, CEO, Growth Energy, here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Man, oh man, Brian, take a look at what's going on in the bean.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins reporting from the NAFB Washington Watch event in Washington, D.C. May milk up 18 to 1826, June up 32 to 1850, July up 36 to 1878, August up 38 at 1895. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower on a profit, taking a setback. After recent gains in the markets, there have been strength in the cattle markets on the cash side, but traders are deciding to take some profits today. On the hog side, they've turned mixed. There is some short covering, but traders are still very much concerned about the summer demand for pork. April live cattle up 20 cents to 185.60. May feeder cattle down $1.92 to 246.10. May hogs now up 27 cents to 94.30. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets relatively flat. Soybeans and wheat moving mostly lower as some positive weather for the spring planting helping to pressure the prices. Also, big deliveries of soybeans, soybean oil, and Chicago wheat all viewed as additionally bearish in the markets. New crop corn down 3/4 to 4.72. New crop beans down 10 3/4 to 11.67 1/4. May wheat in Chicago now down 10 to 5.80 1/4. Minneapolis wheat May down 2 3/4 to 7.12 1/2. From the NAFB Washington Watch Convention in Washington, D.C., I'm Brian Winnikins.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad you're with us. Okay, let's continue the rules and regulation conversations on the show that we're having today and bring in Emily Score. Emily is the CEO of Growth Energy, joins us right now. Emily, it's great to talk with you again. Good morning.
Good morning, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad that you're here. Today it's supposed to be a big day. They've kind of, they've delayed this announcement in the past, but I don't think they can get around it this time. The expectations are very high that the announcement on the final adjustments to the GREET model are on their way at some point today. Give me an update. Have they been released yet?
So they have not. Treasury okay. will release at 4 p.m. Eastern today the new 40B GREET model that will be used to determine who is eligible for the SAF tax credit as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. So we have some sense of what they are going to be announcing, but not a complete sense because there's still some things that are in a bit of a lockbox. So it is a highly anticipated announcement, but I will say big picture, I think what we should be thinking of is we're making progress and there will, you know, this would be the first. Here's the exciting news. This okay. is the first time that you have farming techniques being recognized as reducing the carbon intensity of crops. Okay. That's actually an important threshold to cross. So directionally, I think we're heading in the right direction. But at the end of the day, I think what we're going to see in terms of the final announcement is something that isn't going to be enough. It's too restrictive. It's not expansive. And what we need is for that to be improved upon in the next guidance on the next tax credit that starts January of next year.
Okay. So the farming practices, the mention there, this is, there was, you know, the initial thoughts or process on this was that it was going to come down to some tillage practices and so on, which suggests to me that it's going to be carbon. It's going to start with carbon intensity at the farm level. Is that what you are understanding?
So that's what we expect. Yes. So okay. again, like the good news is, and I have to be careful because I know some things, but it's on embargo, right? But right. so the good news is there, we will have farm practices recognized as, hey, if growers do this, right. that will reduce the carbon intensity. I think the challenge and honestly, my call to action for farmers and growers in the months ahead, as we look for the next tax guidance is we have our work to do to educate policymakers on Washington in practice. If you look at agronomy, what does it actually look like? If I'm talking about cover crops or no-till or enhanced efficiency fertilizer in practice, how does that work on the farm? And I think it's going to be clear that we have our work cut out for us in making sure you got to give farmer flexibility here. You can't be overly prescriptive. Otherwise, right. that's not going to provide the incentive that we're really trying to get at here.
Right, right, exactly. That's a great point. This has got to go back to some comments from USDA Secretary Vilsack that we got last week, where he basically said that this announcement is going to be a placeholder. Is what you're describing, does that describe Vilsack's comments about this being a placeholder?
That is consistent with what we are hearing from the secretary and USDA, yes. Okay. And so, however, we do have to see what they say in the guidance, and you have to look at kind of what's in writing. So we will have confidence and faith, but we still, you know, I'm a trusting person, Chip, but yeah. I'm going to trust but verify yeah. a little bit here. So, like, there's no greater champion in this administration than Secretary Vilsack. And he right. has a track record. And he has a track record with us. He does.
Yep.
And that counts for a lot. And so he's gone out on a limb for the industry. He's worked very hard to help us get the GREET model included, to help agriculture be recognized as part of a climate solution. So we can't understate the value of those steps at this point in time. And I think what he's signaling is, hey, we're in this together. Help me educate. Help me educate. Help me bring more information, more knowledge into Washington so they can come back and they can recognize what we're able to do at the farm.
Yeah, Emily, this all makes sense to me. It's part of a process. I get that. But I will say this as well. The lawmakers that we know have been, quote unquote, champions for biofuels, and I'm looking at the Iowa senators. I'm looking at, and there's a, it's a long list of those that promote biofuels out there. It felt like they understood how important the GREET model was and that they were sending messages. They were sending the right messages at the right time to the right people to clear that pathway for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuels market. And it sounds like it's going to be a little bumpier than what many anticipated.
Well, I think on the GREET, yes, you're right. It's It's bumpier because I think what I have come to appreciate in the past several months is just how much Washington, D.C. does not understand the on-farm practices. How you sequence in different things that you're trying out, kind of the trial and error, the process, the art and the science that is agronomy. And so I think the good news is our champions did a fantastic job of making sure this will be the first time that we've got federal tax policy specific to the GREET model. So that's great. That's huge.
Okay.
But I think thinking of this as a stepping stone, as a placeholder on the road to 45Z, which is the tax credit, you know, because 40B expires at the end of the year. That's in 7 months. So we really have to quickly pivot to 45Z that begins January 1. What is a grower going to be in a position to do next year on the farm? Because I think where we got to have our eye on the prize.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. I get that. And this is an important topic because there is so much at risk to the industry here, isn't there?
Absolutely. This is the new market opportunity. And as we look at gasoline demand going down, it's going to be on the decline in the U.S. because of fuel economy standards, because of EVs coming on the road. So we need a higher share of the gas tank. So we need that E15. But in addition, if this administration is signaling, hey, we really want to electrify light duty vehicles. All right. We're ready. We are ready for sustainable aviation fuel, but you got to help us help you.
Right. Okay. So tell me, there's an ethanol plant up in North Dakota. Ethanol plant up there in North Dakota that's taking the CO2 out of the side of the plant and putting it in the ground, sequestering it underground. Do you anticipate that the ethanol from that facility will be eligible for SAF?
I anticipate, but we have to actually see the model because we've been kind of told, I mean, they are updating the model. And so we have to make sure, and we're told, I think, I mean, we've been told that's something that would be fair to anticipate. Absolutely. That's a huge part of our industry's ability to reduce our carbon intensity.
Okay.
So I'm confident in that respect, but we've got to see the final numbers. We've got to see how it shapes out. Today.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also thinking about the pipeline project from Summit. If that project goes forward and if the 50 plants get hooked up, then we don't have to talk about importing ethanol, sugarcane based ethanol from Brazil into the Southeast U.S. to turn into SAF anymore. I would assume that we would be talking about using corn-based ethanol for SAF.
Well, that's where we're trying to get. And then we also don't have to talk about importing used cooking oil from China either.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I do believe at a big picture level, I think the policymakers understand, and this is where Secretary Vilsack and the champions on the Hill have been helpful and effective kind of in a big picture. But the details are going to come down to, you've got to give us maximum flexibility. Don't say to a farmer, you have to do three things and you have to do all three or you don't get any credit.
Right.
Say, plant, there's some things that you can do. There's some things that you can do with your grower partner. Maximum flexibility means the 45Z tax credit is really going to mean something meaningful.
Yep. Gotcha.
For the bioeconomy.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I got a text from a listener. They want me to ask you something very simple. Why is EPA Administrator Regan not friendlier to ethanol?
I would have to say, actually, if you look at the record with Mr. Regan, he's done a pretty good job. We've got three summers of E15 waivers. This administration has a strong record on the small refinery exemptions. And so I actually think we've done some good things in this administration. And what excites me, whatever the next administration is, we can do this, whoever's in power, Republican, Democrat. We know we are an industry with bipartisan support. We got to make sure that we keep that.
Excellent. You know, the opportunities that are available through SAF, we've talked about this on the show before, Emily, but I think it's very true. I still think it's true, even though maybe it's not going to be exactly what we want in the announcement this afternoon from Treasury, but when we are asked the question, what is going to be the next ethanol for the corn market? I think that answer is still ethanol, isn't it?
It is ethanol. And here, this is my call to action to agriculture. In the months ahead, we have to make it crystal clear what it means from an agriculture perspective to participate in the SAF market.
Yeah.
This is what we need. This is the flexibility need. This is why we need it, so we can participate. So
gotcha.
We have that market available to us.
Gotcha.
Because you can't reach the SAF goals without us. You can't, not without ethanol.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and the thing, yeah. Yeah, the same people that are probably making it difficult on, feedstocks for SAF are the ones that are wondering how they're going to get all the SAF that they need. And that is also part of the frustration here. Emily, you help us understand these issues so much. We sure certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. We'll
Emily Score, CEO, Growth Energy.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
With new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Davis, the news never stops, does it?
Tell me about it.
All we're doing is trying to keep up. And if there's anybody out there that's trying to keep up more than you and me are trying to keep up with the news, it's meteorologists trying to keep up with the weather.
Oh, that's right. Especially this time of year.
Especially. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com, our buddy from Monday mornings, is joining us here on Tuesday morning. And if we've got Brett on with us, there's got to be a reason. And we're looking. Brett, welcome. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Well, good. You keeping up with everything that you need to keep up with? Because it looks like there's quite a bit of activity out there again.
Yeah, you know, it's busy in the short term. It's busy in the extended range. It's busy seasonally, too. Yeah. So it's just a busy time of year. But, hey, we are rolling with the punches and hopefully having fun doing it, too.
Right, right. Okay. There is a system right now that is there's some rain and some storms. I don't think there's severe storms, but basically from north central South Dakota down into western Iowa and some light showers tailing off into Missouri. That front is going to break down and clear the way for another front this afternoon. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. You know, once this activity gets out here over the next hour or two, the atmosphere should start to what I would call destabilize, start to set up shop for what I think will be a more severe line of storms that will work through late this evening, especially after 5 or 6 o'clock across western Iowa, far eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, and northwest portions of Missouri.
Okay, severe storm risks in this evening or this afternoon and evening.
Yeah, for sure. I think all modes of severe weather, hail is honestly my biggest concern. I think there could be some spots in especially central southwest Iowa, maybe northwest Missouri, that could have hail 2-inch plus in diameter. It's not off the table. And a couple of tornadoes. The setup isn't quite as favorable for a lot of strong tornadoes like we had late last week, but I still think it's there to support the risk that there could be a couple of them.
Yeah. How? Let's go back to last week, Friday, Saturday, sure, and into Sunday. How unique was that setup, Brett? Because to have reports of 100, is it 120 or 180 tornadoes?
Yeah, a lot of them. I think that I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but I know, for example, the EF4 tornado damage in Oklahoma, I saw that was the first one of those since 2016. And so it doesn't happen very often where you get that widespread of an outbreak, especially for multiple days. You know, I'm thinking back to like the early 2010s, 2010, 2011, yeah, 2012, the late 2000s, where we had a lot of active severe weather seasons kind of in that time period. This reminds me a little bit of that.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps me put a little, you know, it gives me a frame of reference. Because if you go back to 2008 and spring of 2008, really, and move it forward from there. You're exactly right. We went through four years of some exceptional activity and severe storms. So if we're looking at something similar, it suggests to me that we need to stay ready for this all the way through Memorial Day and even into June. Is that right?
I think that's right. I think we do. I don't really see a major change in terms of severe weather activity as we go throughout next month, or I guess next month starts tomorrow, but throughout the month of May. And initial indications are that I think severe weather activity through summer can be above normal. Those storm cluster risks that bring severe wind, I'm more concerned about that this year than even in past years. And we've had a couple of them in the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Does the ENSO status, the transition from El Nino to La Nina, is that having an influence here?
It definitely is. You know, right now, technically speaking, we're not in La Nina yet. However, the atmosphere, you know, from what we're seeing is already beginning to respond a little bit. Okay. And I think ultimately that's why we're starting to see the severe weather pick up. If you think back to a couple of years, like 2010, for example, that went from a stronger El Nino and into a moderate to even strong La Nina, it was a very active summer with a lot of severe weather. 2011, that was a La Nina year, and there were certainly a lot of severe weather events that spring. And so I definitely think that it is very closely related to what is going on there. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you, it was what happened this past weekend was too familiar to a lot of people that have experienced those kinds of storms in the past. And it's something that we need to be prepared for. So Brett, don't be surprised if phone calls come your way from AgriTalk from time to time to get you on here so that we can better understand what our risks are and what we're looking at here. Summer weather, you have a webinar coming up on summer weather, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, when is it?
So that's going to be May 15th, so 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's at 11 a.m., so you can go to our website, bamwx.com/webinar. It's free for anybody to join. If you can't make it live, we do send out the video recording, but we're going to go over everything from the severe weather threats into summer. You know, obviously, are these drought conditions that have been around, they going to continue to kind of degrade? We've had some improvement over the past month or so.
Yeah, man.
And hurricane season, too. That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Speaking of improvement on the drought, you know, I was right in the middle of it up here in northeast Iowa, and I've had one rain event that was just over 3 inches, and then this weekend was just over 2.5 inches. So, I mean, we're a long way from being back and having a full moisture profile in the soil, but hey, five to six inches of rain over a relatively short period of time is going to help us out. There's no question about it. Brett, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Where did we go again for information on the webinar?
Yeah, bamwx.com/webinar.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Brett Waltz, bamwx.com. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Great conversations with Ethan and Emily. Come back this afternoon. Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730. What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
To win in basketball takes a can-do spirit. So shave with Barbasol and inspire your team. Raise that red, white, and blue can and yell, "We can do this." If it doesn't work, you still got a great shave. Barbasol, it's a can of can-do.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.